couple days ago, many people were, as you know, celebrating Halloween. And we weren't celebrating Halloween as such as a family. We generally come to the church and we have a pizza party and we have a wonderful time. But many people do. They celebrate Halloween. And I remember as a kid, I used to go trick-or-treating. And I enjoyed it. And I'll admit something. It was all about the candy. That's all it was about. That's all I cared about. I mean, the costume that I wore was a means to the candy, right? The fact that I went early in the evening and stayed up as late as I could, knocking on doors, scaring one lady half to death one time, I guess it was kind of late, was a means to the candy. You know, the fact that I would go to apartment buildings where you could knock on many doors real quickly, you know, instead of walking so far, you know, that was all a strategy for more candy. And that's what it was about for me, okay? It was all about the candy. And, you know, it was just my brother and I. And inevitably, every year at the end of the night, you know, we'd be there beside our bed and we're comparing our stash, right? He's got his grocery bag or two filled with candy. And I've got mine, you know, filled with candy, and we're comparing it. And when you go to school the next day, you know, inevitably the kids would be saying, well, how much candy did you get, you know? And everybody's sort of bragging about their candy. That's what it was about. And kids, and a few adults, have the tendency to always compare ourselves one with another. Usually, you know, one person describes how they did something or achieved something. And kids, you can see it in this all, see them all the time. You know, one of them describes how they did something or got something. And the next kid beside them inevitably has to say how they did something even better. You know, they do that, you know. I ran, 3 miles in school. Oh, I ran 4 miles in school. And then the next kid, the first kid has to all of a sudden come up with something better. And they do. They say, yeah, well, I, you know. And then the one says something even more dramatic, and on it goes until they are obviously exaggerating and no longer telling any resemblance of truth. It usually begins with, oh yeah, well, I, you know. They're always comparing, competing, trying to outdo one another. And children tend to do that. They try to compete instead of congratulate one another when one of them does well. You know, if we as adults and teach our children as children to congratulate each other when something good is said, instead of compete with one another, we would do well, okay? And it does happen once in a while. It doesn't happen too often, but it can happen once in a while where kids actually congratulate each other for what they got. And I'm going to show a short video clip where two charming boys one Christmas afternoon do just that.
Hey, Nate!
Honey!
How are you doing?
How's it going?
Very good, very good. What's new? You'll never believe what I got for Christmas.
You're right, I won't. What is it?
Oh, I got the super turbo multi-speed extra power blowout. 3,000.
You're kidding. I got the Tactical Blaster Blaster Master. 5,000.
No way!
Yeah.
Man, Christmas was good this year.
You bet.
Can't get much better than that.
Oh, is it good?
Really?
I got the ZP7 Quickster Future Master 8,000. That's for
God. Aw, thank you, man.
There they are, two charming boys congratulating each other for what they were able to have. And then realizing, of course, that even though they're happy, there is even one better, you know. So anyway, maybe that's for next Christmas. We'll see. This morning, I want to speak about on the topic of envy. That's what I'd like to share this morning. Envy, and I call it the curse of comparison. Just think about that for a moment. The curse of comparison. You know, when God's people left Egypt and they were on their way to beginning a new life in the promised land, God gave them the Ten Commandments. And you know the Ten Commandments. The last of them states this. It says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. You know, there was something so important about this that God took the time and had the desire to write it in stone. And that's what he did. And what was so important about this, that you shall not covet? Why was that so important? It was important because coveting or envy, which are very identical, is contrary to love. You cannot love and envy or covet at the same time. It doesn't work. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13, love does not envy. Love and envy are contrary to one another because envy destroys relationships. Love is all about building relationships, right? Envy, coveting, destroys them. God said, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. When we envy, we have a struggle with that. Envy is contrary to love. It was because of love that, let me rephrase that one. It was because of envy that Cain killed his brother Abel. It was because of envy that Sarah banished Hagar into the wilderness. It was because of envy that Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. It was because of envy that Saul tried to kill David at least four times. It was because of envy that Haman wanted to have Mordecai hung. And of course, it was because of envy that the religious leaders crucified Jesus. That's what envy does. We cannot love as God commands us to love when we envy. They don't go together. Let's take another look, a closer look at what the New Testament says about envy. Envy is listed in the Bible as one of the things that defiles a person. Mark chapter 7, 21 says, For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, there it is, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. Envy is one of the things that defiles a person. Envy is also listed as a characteristic of humanity in rebellion to God. It describes how man is when he is in rebellion to God. Romans 1, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They became filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. Not a very good thing. Envy is listed as one of the fruit of the flesh. Galatians 5. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Furthermore, envy is listed as a characteristic of the unregenerate life. Titus chapter 3. At one time we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Isn't that awful? Hating and being hated by one another. That's just the opposite. That's so contrary to God's command to love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. This is where envy takes us. Envy is also listed as one of the things that we need to put off. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Envy, it's the curse of comparison. Jesus told a parable in Matthew chapter 20, and I will take the time to read it. It's 16 verses here. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." And so they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. And he said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those who came were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work of the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. That statement that Jesus makes at the end just sort of grabs me. Or are you envious because I am generous? You see, the workers who worked all day were expecting a certain amount of pay. They were expecting a fair wage. And they got it. What the landowner gave them was not unfair in any way. But when those who worked a short day received a full day's wage, then all of a sudden they felt like they'd been cheated and that they deserved more. You see, they were doing okay. They were content until they compared with others. And as soon as they started to compare, that's when they ran into trouble. You see it clearly in this parable. Envy is the curse of comparison. The workers who worked all day should have been satisfied with their pay. But because they compared themselves with others, they were not happy. They were not pleased. This morning, we are people who are bombarded with comparison all the time. And as we close our service in a few moments, I want us to think about this whole area of envy. You don't need to answer me, but just think about it. Do you struggle with envy? The story is told of a monk who lived in the desert. The monk had been very instrumental in helping lots of people put their faith in God, lots of travelers. And Satan could no longer stand it. And so Satan summoned his three of his demons, his best ones, and said to them, "We've got to stop this monk. He's causing us much too much loss." And so Satan said to his apprentices, "Let's go to him, and you can each give him your best shot." Well, the first demon went up to the monk and planted visions of power in his mind. He could see power, kingdoms, and great glory. And the monk was not at all interested, didn't change his expression at all. The second demon planted great images of wealth and all sorts of silver and gold and all the things that money could buy. And again, the monk's expression was unchanged. The third demon came, snuck up on this monk and planted in his mind scenes of scantily dressed women and all sorts of sensuous pleasures. And again, the monk's face was stern and solid and unmoved. Satan was disappointed, but he said to his apprentices, "Watch how it's done." And with that, he went over to the monk and he whispered in his ears, "Have you heard the news? your classmate has just been appointed Bishop of Alexandria. And at that, the story says, the monk's face scowled and he was angry and disappointed. Discontent. See, everything was okay. He can do without power, he can do without money, he can do without pleasures. But as soon as somebody else did better than him, got the promotion he wanted or whatever, he was discontent. When we compare ourselves with others, and you may think, well, you know, I don't have a problem with envy. But envy sort of sneaks in. It just sort of sneaks into our heart when we're not watching. And envy leads to disappointment, discontentment, depression, anger, and it starts when we compare ourselves to those around us. You know, there's always going to be somebody who makes more money than you do. There's always going to be somebody who has a newer house or a bigger car or a faster whatever else. There's always going to be somebody whose body is the shape and size that you think you'd like to have. There's always going to be somebody who looks like they have the perfect family or the perfect husband or the perfect wife or the perfect relationship. There's always somebody who's scored more goals or shot a bigger moose or caught a bigger fish or whatever else. And when we compare ourselves, we're always going to lose. And even if we're ahead, we still lose. There is no winning in this game. Take a look at this cartoon and you'll see what I mean. One person is saying, I spent 20 years creating a life that others envy, but I hate. And the other is thinking, I wish I could do that. Isn't that the way it is? They both lose. You strive for the things of the world, and you find out that they're empty. You might have it all, but those things don't bring pleasure. They don't bring contentment. They don't bring joy and peace and love. And so for 20 years, this guy gets everything, and everybody else is envious about him, but he hates it. It's empty. And the other guy sitting beside him saying, boy, would I ever like that? Not knowing that it's empty. Envy is the curse of comparison. In contrast to that, Paul wrote to Timothy some great instructions. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. There is something wonderful about contentment. There is something pleasing to God when we are people who are content. Just like our children, if you have children, you know what I mean. You're pleased when your children are content, when they're satisfied. What bothers you the most as a parent? When your children are always griping, when they're not happy. You do this for them and they want more and they're not happy. Nothing seems to satisfy. And that bothers you as a parent. How much more with God? We are His children. He has us in His hands. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't care about the rivers of oil. He's got it all. And He says, trust in Me. Put your hope in Me. Come to Me, and I will give you rest. I will give you what you need. I will look after you. Yeah, you might be this and somebody else. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about the next person. Look after yourself. Look after who you are. Be content with who you are. Be content with what God has provided, with how God has made you, with what God has put in your path. You might say, well, you know, somebody else has this, or somebody else has better health than me, or somebody else. It doesn't work that way. We're all individuals. Together we make a body of Christ, but we can't compare ourselves with one another, because if we do, we lose. Envy is a curse of comparison. Satan loves it when we are envious. And that's why the Lord said, thou shalt not covet. Instead, love the Lord, love your neighbor, because envy and love are contrary. I want to encourage you this morning just to take time as we close the service this morning. Let the Lord speak to you. Is there an area of your life, something that maybe you are envious of on somebody else? And just give that over to the Lord. And say to God, God, you can have that. I don't need it. I don't need to be like so-and-so. I don't need to have this. Whatever you have for me, Lord, however you want me to be, I'm going to thank you for it. I'm going to praise you, Lord, for it. Can we say that to him? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we recognize, Lord, how easily envy can slip into our lives. When we see how somebody has progressed a little further or has something different that we don't. And Lord, we might think that, oh, if only I. And Lord, you're there and you're saying, if only you would listen to me, if only you would trust in me. And Lord, help us, Father, to be men and women and youth who are content. Doesn't mean that we can't better our situation. But Lord, that wherever you put us, however you've made us, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, Lord, we can be content to know that you are with us, that you love us, that you call us, that we are the children of God. The most important thing. Lord, we are only passing through this world. Everything that we see, everything that we have is only a temporary thing, Lord. Help us, Father, to fix our eyes upon you, to throw off everything that hinders and the sin and envy that so easily entangles. Let us run our race with you, Lord. Pray, Father, for your blessing upon your people, Lord, as we seek you, as we give our hearts to you and put our trust in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.